everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, February 6, 2026. Heavenly birthday to you, Mom. Mom's birthday a long, long time ago, but still fresh in our memories for those who loved her dearly. Hope everybody had a great week. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing the show. On the other side of the glass, on Friday, we like to bring in a guest media co-host. This week is Dylan Smith, editor, co-publisher, and founder of the online news service TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan's the past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion's an acronym for local independent online news publishers. How are you, D?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure to have you on. Want to thank your colleague, Jim Nintzel, political reporter at TucsonSentinel.com, for hosting the show last Friday while I was laboring over my first report for my travel blog over in Palm Springs.
It's a terrible job.
I know. Somebody had to do it. But anyway, we're excited about the travel blog, which will go live, Dylan, next week on our newly redesigned website, BuckmasterShow.com, which is also the place for folks to listen. Nintzel did a great job with the debate last Friday, and we've got that posted at BuckmasterShow.com.
Yeah, digging into the RTA in as much detail as one can do in a little under an hour of radio,
yeah.
Jim did. But
he did a great job.
He's done a whole lot more reporting for us at the Sentinel. Tons of detail about what the RTA has done over the past 20 years, what they haven't done, what they are planning to do if the voters approve this 20-year extension. And should remind people that the deadline to register to vote, to have your say on the RTA, is Monday.
Very cool.
Get yourself, if you're not registered, get signed up, or make sure your registration is up to date by 11:59 p.m.,
Gut feeling on this thing, Dylan? Do you have a gut?
No. A lot of elections, you can just tell, like, something's either going to be a slam dunk or it's going to completely fail. With this, the community conversation is decidedly mixed.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't think there's a prevailing wind right now. So, up in the air.
We'll see. We're here each Friday, noon to one, as we continue with the Buckmaster Show tradition that began 15 years ago. And again, our newly redesigned website, really excited about it. We have all 15 years of The Daily Show. And of course, we've got every one of our weekly shows at BuckmasterShow.com. Shout out to our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Shout out to Dylan Smith and TucsonSentinel.com, one of our media partners. Dylan, thanks for being with us day one. Thanks to Dan Scheer, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Time for our Friday Focus interview with Tucson Police Chief Chad Kazmar, who announced just yesterday he is retiring next week from the police department, where he has served for 25 years, including the last 4 years as the city's top cop. But he's not going into a retirement. He is moving on. Next month, he begins a new job as the assistant to Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher, who, by the way, will be our Friday Focus interview next Friday. Hey, Chief, how are you?
Good morning. How are you both doing? Well, I guess it's afternoon already.
Yeah.
It's been a little bit of a busy day.
Yeah. So where did this come from? It's surprised a lot of people that you were deciding to make a change.
Well, that's a good question. When you... It doesn't seem so sudden for me with 29 years on with the city. And
I was wrong. I said 25. You got 29?
I've started with the city in 1996 part-time and then went full-time in 2000.
Okay.
And did a year down at the Emergency Communications as an interim director there, and then just completed 4 years as chief. And when you look around the country, the statistics are 2 to 3 years for a major city chief lifespan. And so I've exceeded that and really kind of initially had my mindset on a 4 year and then an evaluation, which was my original commitment with Mike Ortega and the mayor at the time. So a lot of things happened, but it really boils down to a real simple thing, just family.
Right.
A lot of things happened over the holidays. I think you've probably seen my letter to the department.
Yeah.
And we'd sustained a family loss before when my dad passed, and about 6 years ago. And then we suddenly lost my wife's father over the holidays, and he passed Christmas Eve on after a bout of cancer. Mm. So you know this better than anybody, Bill. You know,
yeah.
Loss makes you reflect a little
it
bit
does.
And
does.
On where you want to be in 5 years. And and it's a complicated conversation, because it also in that for me was the team ready?
Right.
You know, was the team ready? Were they ready to, you know, did I think that the deputy chief had the political support? I knew she had the internal support. I knew she had community support. So yeah, so all these different things came together in a very unique, weird, organic way. And my wife and I kind of decided, like, I was off for almost 3 weeks. One of those weeks was over the holidays was influenza A after a community event. So I'm here to recommend that everybody get their flu shot.
Yeah. Had you
I'll beat you to Walgreens.
Had
year.
You taken one? A flu shot?
I had not this year because I was so dang busy. No
all
excuses,
right.
But I won't do that again because it was not a fun experience.
That knocked you for a loop, didn't it?
Oh, I was 103 plus, 104.7 at one point for
that's
4 days.
Dangerous.
Which is essentially almost like childbirth, I think, for a man.
Oh.
Is what I've heard. right? I think I got agreement here. My wife didn't agree, but I think it sounds like I have consensus.
Yeah,
so.
You do.
Yeah,
you
it
do.
Was during those 3 weeks where, you know, life kind of changed for me a little bit, and I was in conversations with city leadership about some things that were going on, and you know, everybody wants there to be some drama or some,
yeah,
you know,
like some big reason.
The chief's gotten pushed out. Are you? Yeah. I got a lot of messages. Are you okay? We're excited. Are you okay? I'm better than okay. I mean, I'm so excited for the city, for the department, for Chief Prieto. She's ready. The chief's office is ready. The department's ready. And we'll go over some of the data sets,
sure.
You know, like we normally do to show just how ready this leadership team is.
Here's Dylan.
So, appreciate the rather lengthy interview you gave me yesterday right after this word came out. One of the things we talked about a little bit was this, you know, the kind of lifespan, as you were saying, of chiefs of major departments and the constant 24/7 nature of the job.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a pressure, an untold pressure when you sign up for these. And it was known to me. I worked for multiple chiefs. I was a deputy chief to Chris Magnus. And we had gone through critical incidents together, and two officers lost their life to suicide in 2021 during Chris's last year, which was Stephen Cass and Amanda Voss. And that takes something out of you that the general public doesn't recognize, whether it's a non-duty death or an active member who dies by suicide. Those are deeply personal to the organization and to the chiefs, the leadership. You feel responsible. And then I inherited two funerals. One was for an off-duty death of a young detective, and then Jason Southard, who had passed away from COVID. I inherited they passed away on Chief Magnus's timeline, but then I inherited the department. So within 30 days of being the chief, I had two police officer funerals. And then a couple months later, I lost Chris Finolio, a retired TPD canine handler. And tough for me even to talk about it today, but it's... And then we lost Officer Buckner. So those things, you know, you take an untold toll on you. And our job and our profession, and I'm so proud of what this department's done. We've really focused on mental health and wellness, recognizing we lost three team members in a short period of time to suicide, and that's unacceptable. So we've made wholesale changes in what we've done. Chief Prieto has led that change. So I know that will be a primary focus for her moving forward. But, you know, I'm not retiring because we had, you know, four officers pass away on my watch. But that's what Dylan and I were talking about, is, you know, those take a toll on you. And when you still have to have some emotional capacity for my sons and parents and family and my wife, of course. So it's just all the timing came right where it was just really the right time. And it just worked out beautifully this week.
So Chief Prieto will be the second, as I recall, and there might have been someone before Chief Hedke, because I remember Chief Hedke was she during your time at all? Or
I don't think so. Yeah, I came on in August of 2000. I think it was
because
right
I remember
before.
Her because I came to town in 88, and it must have been early 90s.
But we have had a woman be the chief of police.
Yes,
so we have.
So is this assistant Chief Prieto ready to step in? And what is that? How does that work? I mean, do the rank and file cops like her, or what's the deal?
Well, so you've heard me say this before. There's three legs to a stool for a chief to stay employed, and that's having the followership of the community.
Yeah.
It's having the followership of the staff. that's having the followership of city leadership. And you need all three of those on the three-legged stool. And if you lose one of those, you find yourself quickly unemployed by design. And nobody's ready for this job until you get it. There's a lot of on-the-job training for all police officers. Remember, 9 months of training for a police officer to deal with the complexities they do. And there's some degree of that works its way up to the top of the organization. So Chief Prieto was selected by me and developed by me when I came back to be my second in command. Because when I, you know, what you also do have to do as a chief is figure out your own job and then start succession planning the day you get the job for the future. Because remember, you have to operate on a 2 to 3 year timeline. And she's just done so well with that. And so, yes, she absolutely has the support of the officers, support of the community. And I want to really highlight the confidence in the city manager and the mayor and council and a new council, right? That's a tough thing for council member Schubert and Bras, who are brand new, trying to get their feet under them. So I can't commend them enough. I know there's people in the community that want there to be some kind of crisis or story here. This was any other $2 billion organization, you'd be firing people if you didn't have a succession plan. So it's a, I know we don't always run like a business and government, but this is one aspect that was certainly taught to me by Chief Magnus and Chief Villasenor, and I felt a responsibility to carry that out within this organization, which I did at Emergency Communications, and I've done that now with the Tucson Police Department.
We can circle back to some of the data you want to talk about, and we have some questions there, but real quick, touch upon the things you are going to be tackling. You're not going to be a cop anymore. You're not going to be carrying a gun and a badge every day,
It's still administrator, but kind of a huge...
Yeah. Yeah, working on law... Not directly law enforcement, because that's the sheriff's department at the county level, but law enforcement related things.
Yeah, right? What are the parallels about how many people the county's got the largest employer, right?
Yeah, second largest county in the state, and I'm trying to figure out my new role while exiting.
The org chart you just got yesterday.
A slightly busy one, yeah. Yeah, Jan Lesher, I'm glad she sent me the org chart. Let me just touch base on one thing too. You know, my original strategy was, when my wife and I made this decision, was just to retire. And we financially planned for that as well. So that was the original plan. And I want to make that clear to the community that was the original idea when I talked to city manager. At the time that I told him, I actually didn't have this job secure at this time. Jan and I were in discussion and with county leadership. And those were progressing as this timeline was progressing as well. But I'm certainly excited about the opportunity that Jan and Steve and Carmine are providing to me and the Board of Supervisors to come over. And we interface in so much. The reality is, in my job, maybe 10% of it sometimes feels like it's about policing and it's about systems improvement. And you've heard me say metropolitan government approach to doing things for a long time. I think we can drive across our communities, and whether we're on our roadways or we're looking at the unsheltered population and substance use crisis that we have in the community, it's all hands on deck. And so it's frustrating to be doing so many innovative things and still see such a crisis in front of us. And so you definitely don't get the credit for the work and the staff that are out there every day doing it. So I'm going to have a mix of assignments. Some are, yes, justice focused, which are going to feel like home to me. And I interface with those parts of the county now in my role as we, work on safer city strategies and the transition center and justice courts. And I still very much will have a close relationship with the police department here, sheriff's department, and the county attorney to try to solve some of these complex issues. But then I'm going to have things that I've never been in charge of too.
Like what?
Like fleet, for one. Obviously the PD has the largest fleet, so that's not a super...
Used to making sure cars get oil changes,
yeah, not
right?
A super stretch. PC win, I'm not certainly not an expert there, but I think my time in emergency communications...
That's the county dispatch radio system.
Right, yeah. Correct. And so,
you're going to have PAC, right?
I am.
You're going to have the dog pound.
Yeah, so Steve and I had a great conversation yesterday, so I'm excited. I'm going to go visit
Steve's doing Henderson. A great job out there, by the way.
He's doing awesome, so I'm excited to work with Steve again. Officer Emergency Management, again, not a huge stretch, but I'm looking to learn more about all aspects of emergency management on a broader government. And again, there's a lot of opportunity in this region to continue to connect. Parks and Recreation, you both know my love with the city started in Parks and Recreation, so I'm super excited about that. And I'm a passionate cyclist, and working the loop is I'll be doing that some full time here. Attraction and tourism is going to, I'm excited to learn about all of these I've always looked at the city and all of the welcoming things that we can do, whether it's El Tour, it's the 4th Avenue Street Fair, or these large events where we can draw folks to our community to learn about it. So I'm excited about that as well. And I have a few others, Public Defender's Office. You know, there might be some, you know, humor and some jokes I've seen on social media about that already. But contrary to belief, I do believe that all the justice system is important, not just the arrest side.
So you'll be working with Laura.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the county
attorney's office. Sure.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Chief, hold your thoughts there. Okay. We're going to talk about a situation with policing here and bring folks up to date on how we're doing in the crime category. But right now, Dylan and Chief, it's lunchtime, and I want to talk about my favorite Mexican restaurant.
All right.
It's El Cisne. If you are out driving around now and you're hungry and you're anywhere near the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, stop by and have lunch at El Cisne. Casual or fine dining services. They do pickup. They'll include pickup, delivery. They'll do catering. They'll actually come out, set up, and clean up, which is a big deal. And they'll host and attend your event. El Cisne, open daily for lunch and dinner at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. We're just delighted that they have joined the Buckmaster family of partners who continue to make our program possible here.
You know, I haven't been there yet, but my wife was up there just on Sunday.
And you're
so
kidding.
It was excellent. So
wonderful.
Tell me.
There you go.
Go.
There you go, Phil Ferrante. You get a little endorsement here from Dylan Smith's lovely wife who was up there for lunch. My fiance and I will probably stop by for lunch there tomorrow, actually. All right, we'll take a break right here. Chief of Police for at least,
we got a week left?
Friday the 13th.
Friday
auspicious
the 13th.
Day.
And then he'll move over to Pima County. But we'll have a lot to talk about still with the chief in our remaining two segments of the, there are actually three segments left because the third segment is Weekend Watch. But let's take a break right here.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
A proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 48,000 additional jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
Brendan always comes up with great bump music. Step Out by Jose Gonzalez from The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Okay. I remember that was a movie, right? Yeah, I remember the movie.
Two movies.
Dylan Smith here,
the remake.
My media co-host this week. Next week, we have Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher. The media co-host will be Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News. The Friday Focus interview today, the Chief of Police for another week. Chad Kazmar, who is moving over to become the assistant Pima County administrator. You're going to begin, Chief, March 1st or?
February 27th.
You're not going to take a little bit of time?
About a week and a half.
Yeah. All right. The story that is.
Jay, it's not going to let you relax.
No, so. Not very much. This story with, you know, Nancy Guthrie is just, it's personal for a lot of people, including myself. I know the family. I mentored Savannah for 4 years at Channel 6 at Arizona Illustrated when she was on our student crew. Annie, her sister, worked on the crew as well for a little while. I knew Nancy for years. She was head of PR over at UMC before it became Banner. So I know the family, saw them actually Christmas Eve at St. Phillips in the Hills. So this is real personal, not just for me, but a lot of people in the community. How is TPD assisting the Sheriff's Department, who, of course, has the original jurisdiction, but now the FBI, I don't even know how that works. I guess the sure. FBI comes in and takes over the investigation?
No, not necessarily. So first of all, I just want to say our hearts go out to the Guthrie family. I can't imagine what they're going to. Certainly the entire Tucson community and city leadership, TPD, are all thinking about them. My leadership team has been, both the mayor and the manager have been asking me for pretty regular updates on that. I've been keeping a close tab, spoke with the sheriff this morning. I know he's under a tremendous amount of pressure on this investigation that's obviously garnering national media attention.
International,
yeah. So just it's a tough situation, and certainly folks want real, you know, answers that we see in TV shows that happen in an hour, and it just doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, these are really complex. You have to go slow to go fast, and so we the Pima County Sheriff's Department is the lead investigative organization on this case. They are being supported by the FBI. That's typically how it works. Mm-hmm. Depending on the type of lead they have within the investigation, they can share and decide who's going to take run point on that. I'm also, you know, proud to say that the Pima Regional Critical Incident Team is also involved. That is our team that we typically only use for deputy or officer-involved shootings. We have used it for different things, and all of the chiefs in wanting to support the sheriff wanted to make those resources available because, it's hard to run detectives 24/7 and there's fatigue and you want to make sure that you're getting a high quality investigation. So lots of moving parts to this, but the whole region, Southern Arizona, is involved with supporting the Sheriff's Department and the FBI at this point.
So it's all hands on deck.
It is all hands
on deck. If you're in law enforcement in this community, you're involved right now.
As organizations, yes. Absolutely, we're making all those resources available.
Did you have some assets that you can lend to the investigation, aerial assets or anything like that?
The sheriff is equipped. I obviously offered all of our resources I made available to him by my leadership team as well. And he's pretty equipped. In fact, most of the time, remember, I'm borrowing his plane. So he has those resources, but there's all sorts of other resources. We have detectives involved, professional staff investigators involved. This is a good opportunity to really talk about police technology. As there's fear of government overwatch or overreach or how our federal partners have data, this is another real-time case to demonstrate to the community that the responsible use of these technologies is critical to these investigations and solving crime, whether it's cell phone data, the cameras that we have, the automated license plate readers, all of those things are in play on an investigation like this as we're trying to create investigative leads.
Yeah, Dylan, before I throw it over to you, the sheriff said, early, I think it was his first news conference, he said, I haven't gotten all the resources I want from Pima County when it comes to law enforcement. And I just wonder, now you're going over to the county. I'm just wondering, in front of a national and international stage, whether that puts some pressure maybe on the Pima County electeds to kind of step up a little bit.
You know, I didn't see that comment. I've been a little busy over at my shop. But here's what I'll tell you. You never have everything you want. You have what you need, and then you got to make that work. I think I've been pretty transparent. Look, we public safety is an expensive resource to keep up and to keep to date, whether it's technology, it's vehicles, it's equipment, it's salaries. Everything has gotten just so expensive. A police car is $100,000 now.
Is it
and,
really?
And I certainly felt that way when Officer Kyle Lorenz was in a Crown Victoria and was T-boned by a drunk driver and smashed between those two vehicles and nearly lost his life, but lost his leg. He had to take a medical retirement at a very young age. And then, of course, we lost Officer Buckner. So anytime a chief or sheriff is under immense pressure to do their job, we're going to cite and resource what we don't have as, sure, as a reminder to folks why we need to have that.
Yeah.
But it's a tough situation.
Here's Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
Yeah, a little bit more on that point. You had a pretty lengthy, I don't know if wish list is quite the right, probably not from your point of view, but, you know, voters shot down, Tucson voters shot down giving more money to policing, law enforcement, and, you know, social services in,
sure,
in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
Swoop, not that long ago. You know, how has that impacted how you have approached, you know, things over the past year?
So budget cycle's already ongoing right now for FY27, and I trimmed it up. I trimmed the list up. It's not a list of wishes. It's a wish of needs. But there's one pot of money, and
TPD's not getting a plane, right?
I did not ask for a plane this year, because this year and next fiscal year are going to be tight still,
yeah,
and it's going to take us two or three fiscal years to get out of that. So I'm pivoting, and that's what police leaders do. So I am encouraging mayor and council in the community to think about and evaluate what a drone first responder program would look like. That would enhance our existing air support resources. What that looks like is strategically placed drones that would be dispatched from 911 calls for service. The cameras would be facing up. There's no surveillance aspect to those. So for example, if fire or police get a man down call, you can launch that drone. It takes us about 5 minutes on the police side to get to a level one call. And it takes us about 14 average minutes for level two and an hour and 42 minutes. We can have a drone on site in 2 minutes. And so we need to start thinking about, it's a much more cost-effective way. We don't have to drive a police car across town. We don't have to launch a helicopter. You know, on that note, I want to just, you know, give my condolences to the Department of Public Safety. Another highlight for the dangerousness of this work is they launched a helicopter this week to go help the Flagstaff Police Department in an active killer situation. They lost the pilot and a commission team member. So it's tragic, and our hearts go out to them. So there's a safety element, right? I mean, I worry about our helicopters.
Yeah.
And we have an amazing pilot, and we keep them up to the best standards. But unless by design, neither the three of us are probably driving a car that's 20 or 30 years old.
No. People do worry about all of the data that you gather. Whether, you know, it could be,
sure,
from drones, it could be from the license plate readers, whether,
sure,
they are, you know, on a cop car or some of the stationary ones, the flock cameras, your ability to access people's doorbell cameras.
Sure.
You know, how, I don't know, I don't want to say paranoid to downplay people's concerns, because there are some,
yeah,
real privacy concerns about, you know, perhaps not here in Tucson, but overall, you know, the government knowing so much about what people are doing as they,
yeah,
go about their daily business.
No, great question, Dylan. I mean, the good news is they're not that efficient to track us all. That's a good first news.
Well, not yet. What Peter Thiel wants,
yeah,
to do, though.
Not, yeah, yet, guys.
AI does change the game, and we're going to be talking to, you know, well, it won't be me. It'll be the chief of police, Chief Prieto, talking about it very near future. We're having the conversation about, we're ready to go full encryption on our radios out in the community, because the AI has advanced so much in the last 6 months to a year, where we know we have softwares out there right now that are listening to all of our radio transmissions, and they can pull private personal information off, and we have some real safety and fraud concerns. That's just one example. But going back to your original question, they should be concerned, you know, with what we're watching across the country. And we're all either ranging from outraged to concerned to, and everything in between, is federal government, our federal partners do not have direct access to TPD data, not,
mm-hmm,
our case reports, not our data, not an ALPR, which we use, not in our public-facing cameras, which we use. They would have to do a direct request, whether it was via a records request or a professional request. And then they can get more complicated from there if they wanted to obtain a search warrant. So, you know, I will remind everybody that we need our federal partners to keep Tucson safe, that we couldn't have had the sustained reductions in crime in our key areas without their help. There's, you know, we can talk about ICE, HSI, and ERO if you want to talk, because that's really what the community is mostly focused on at the moment,
yeah,
in our country. With the administrative immigration effort, we had a really difficult but meaningful conversation this Wednesday night with community about those very concerns, and we worked through some of those. So what I'm asking for community, and I think you'll see from city leadership, I think city manager Tamir has been very clear on it, as has the mayor, is It's not about having the systems that access the data. It's about having policy and oversight and community, and understanding community interests and how we utilize these systems.
Yeah, because like ICE, for instance, or you know, any one of the alphabet soup of DHS agencies, not here so much, but you know, say in you know Minneapolis, they've done in Chicago, are doing facial recognition, entering the faces of people into a database, who are just bystanders, protesters, you know, not people who are actively, you know, in any way committing a crime and, you know, gathering all that data. And people get very, very concerned about that kind of thing.
So TPD does not use facial recognition. That is not approved by city leadership, mayor and council, and the city manager. We have very tight controls through our IT department on what we can do, what kind of technology that we can acquire. In the few cases where we've needed facial recognition help to identify folks, we can go through other partners where there's a real formal process to be able to articulate why we're doing that. But again, I'd go back. I think facial recognition is a great conversation point of managing the fear versus having an intelligent conversation. Facial recognition 10 years ago when it launched was bad because it profiled people of color mm-hmm. with really bad accuracy, by the way. And cops were using that as probable cause. We don't use any of our technology to just develop probable cause. It can certainly support reasonable suspicion. It's an investigative tool, but it just enhances our investigation. It is not the foundation of it.
Maybe you're talking about maybe like using surveillance video to develop long-term shoplifting cases.
Sure.
So you've got this person who you recorded, you know, ripping off Target, you know, 11 times.
Right.
Yes, that's exactly. The same person.
Exactly. All right, we're talking with soon-to-be Assistant Pima County Administrator Chad Kazmar, the outgoing Tucson. He's outgoing in several ways, not only. He's fully transparent and outgoing. Chad Kazmar is with us. It's time now to talk about crime. How did we do in the year, calendar year, 2025, and any updates for us?
This is a speed dating part of the show for
Please
our new
do.
Listeners.
Please
and here
do.
We go. Part one crimes, part one violent crime. We ended the year at a 15.3% percent reduction on part one violent crimes, and that's a 14.1% sustained reduction over a five-year average. We ended the year on part one property crimes with a reduction of 22.3% and held a 24.6% five-year average. We reduced our homicides from the previous year of 64 down to 54. That's nearly a 15.6% reduction. I'll remind everybody before we really made wholesale changes to how we looked at gun crime and violent crime, we had over 90 homicides in 2021. On our call response times, again, we saw anywhere from 1.6 up all the way to 15.6% reductions in our call response times. And then when we look at our traffic interactions with our community, we had over 31,000 traffic contacts. An area that I did not succeed as chief is contributing to safer streets. Although we've been very intentional and put a lot of resources out there to do that, enforcement is just a component. But we did have 97 traffic fatalities last year, and we had 88. So it's still something we really need to be focused on as we move forward in 2026 into 2027 on what are our strategies to make streets safer. We saw really specific changes in the types of pedestrian and vehicular fatalities, certainly our unsheltered population and dark streets are a contributor, and we got to continue to work on that.
What about this intersection that was taken over?
We're seeing less of those, but that is still a problem. That is a social media-driven problem.
I think it was over at Fort Lowell and somewhere. Yeah, they took over the intersection.
It happens throughout our metropolitan Tucson, certainly Pima County, the city of Tucson, all throughout the state. These are intersection takeovers where folks of all a variety of ages, even some parents are taking their children, by the way.
What?
We've arrested parents for contributing to delinquency of minors with alcohol and firearms and vehicles at 3 o'clock in the morning with 12 and 14-year-olds in these vehicles. But they're seeing this stuff on social media is what it boils down to. And they're going out, they're taking intersections over, and they're doing stuff called slideshows. So it's very dangerous. It's very illegal. You can be arrested just for watching, not just participating. And their mob mentality. So we can't break those up with one or two officers. It takes a host of, you know, a show of force by, you know, at least 5 to 10, 15 vehicles going in. We use air support assets. But that's also something that we need to continue to keep our focus on next year.
Getting a handle on it would, I'm sure you and the team will try to, like, get intelligence before it happens so you don't have to get out there like you said, with five officers at least.
It's really difficult, Bill, with the social media and how secretive and close
they're tight
the networks. You almost have to have undercover capacity that takes weeks and months and days, and those profiles change, and you have to be involved with certain clubs. So we do share information at a state level on this because Phoenix has this issue as well. So we're working on it. There's got to be more and more accountability for cars being impounded and longer suspensions of driver's license and those types of things as well.
How is the trend with that?
Trend is down. We are down.
It seems just, you know, kind of anecdotally from what I have noticed, it doesn't seem to be as prominent as it's kind of a pandemic phenomenon, isn't it?
It really is. Last year, we were doing some pretty heavy deployments, and those are expensive. You know, we're talking about budget. We were spending $15,000 to $25,000 to have enough resources out to really get our arms wrapped around these things. Mm-hmm. Goes back to why you need air support resources, where we're not going to pursue these vehicles for the level of criminal violation that they're doing. But we do need to understand there's narcotics, there's firearms. These are not safe things for your children.
Kids are getting hurt out there.
Absolutely. They're just, you know, there's other platforms where folks can go. You know, these are not car enthusiasts. As a car enthusiast myself, and I will tell you, the car clubs get very angry about this types of behavior because it really gives all the car clubs a bad reputation in Tucson.
All right, let's take a break right here. Segment three is coming up. We'll do three straight segments today with the chief, Chad Kazmaier, with me, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. And Dylan, before we get into segment three, how are things going quickly at your particular enterprise, the TucsonSentinel.com?
Things are going...
teeing it up for you. Tell our listeners about your organization.
Things are going great. We are looking to hire some more folks to flesh out our newsroom even more. You know, you hear a lot of terrible stuff about what's going on in the news business, like what just happened at the Washington Post.
One third of the staff,
you know, hundreds of people who work there, including about 300 reporters, got an email yesterday morning saying you're fired. Goodbye.
International reporters,
people who are in Ukraine right now, got fired while they're over there. But you know, we're still growing thanks to the support of people in this community who understand the importance of truly independent local news that is about Tucson, that isn't about, you know, reflecting the latest salacious, you know, national thing, but just communicating, digging into what's going on in this town, asking hard questions, texting the chief of police at 9 o'clock at night to ask him what the heck is going on, you know, things like that, right?
All right.
So if you want to help out with that, go to TucsonSentinel.com/watchdog and you can contribute to our nonprofit newsroom.
And I have contributed.
Thank you, sir.
And continue to contribute. Thank you, Dylan, for what you do. Chief of Police Kazmaier with us next after this.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona.
Far Away by Jose Gonzalez from the album Far Away from 2012. As I put on my DJ voice, at one point, Dylan Smith, I did do a little DJing. It was fun. And
what was your...
Bill Stewart.
What was the vibe at the station
you were DJing? The name was Bill Stewart, using my middle name.
Yeah.
What was the vibe?
Yeah.
Mellow, man.
Yeah.
It was 1972. Let's hear it from that new Elton John album. This is Tiny Dancer. Anyway.
Bill Bond.
Yeah.
I got the visual.
Yeah.
Want to say gladly that we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I love Green Things. In fact, I'm actually doing a monthly podcast with them, and will be up at their website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. So learning a little bit about the ins and outs, Dylan, of the gardening business.
Right on.
So very cool. Anyway, we thank Green Things and all of the terrific sponsors that have stayed with us as we transition from a daily show to the weekly program. And I would say, just with a couple of exceptions, we had some folks that dropped off, but 90% stayed with us, which is, Chief, that makes me feel good.
Should.
It should, right?
90% in today's world is pretty, I know. Better than good.
I know. So we went over statistics. What are we missing here? What do we need to talk about?
Staffing. You know,
okay.
We did great. Last year, we kept our attrition under our 10-year average, just over 5. That means our department's getting healthy. We're increasing attrition. The mayor and council and the city manager gave us capacity over the next year to fill an additional 50 officer positions with some federal grant dollars that we have that augments the cost. So, look, in a difficult fiscal time, I commend city government for recognizing we have to keep this momentum. We have to keep building our commission ranks up. We have about 809 positions filled. We have 2 active classes and a post-basic class going right now. And I'm going to be doing one last workout with the double class next week on Tuesday before I head out. And just thank them for having the courage to join this profession at a really challenging time. We're still seeing increased class sizes, which sometimes does happen during tough economic times, but it also happens because the city's invested resources so we can advertise. Shocker for both you, right? If you advertise, you get more you get better results. So we're advertising, we're getting high quality candidates, and I'm just so it's just all these things are just make me so happy as I'm getting to transition to watch, you know, Monica run this organization with the support that she has from mayor and council and city manager, and I just know they're going to do great things.
So aggressive, Albuquerque PD. They've been advertising with billboards even Albuquerque's had some ads around town, not just for police officers, but tourism.
Yeah.
And one of our great sponsors, Silver City, they've been wonderful. And New Mexico's very aggressive when it comes to recruiting not only tourists, but future cops for their department.
Yeah, I think they have it wrong. And here's the cool part. I don't know if they're getting a lot of recruits. So... out of our, out of our over 1,200 team members, I've only lost 2 to federal agencies, which was really more of a family need of moving than their desire to work here. I don't spend any dollars recruiting outside of our community because Tucson is unique. And as a third generation Tucsonan, and I can tell you, it's hard to describe Tucson, right? Everybody thinks it's a sleepy old Pueblo, but we're not. We're 33rd largest city, 250 square miles. We're residing in the second largest county in the state. We're a big deal. We're a big city. We're not a Chicago or New York, but we got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of good stuff and a lot of challenges and opportunities. So I still believe in my heart, and I know Chief Prieto feels the same way, that the answers are here. The answer to reduce poverty, to give people, you know, to keep people in our community is connecting with youth. Youth is really the root cause solution, a lot of the issues that we face. We have over 134 CSOs, community service officers, and 32 professional staff investigators. It's unacceptable 9 months of training still in this country to equip an officer to go deal with the challenges that they face. So when we hire a CSO at 18 straight out of high school and we pay them more than the median income in Tucson and we pay for their college and their families can't afford that, we create a connection with that team member. And we say, hey, come work for us. We're going to provide a life for you. And there's a mutual connection there. And then we can train that CSO for years, three, four years before they become a police officer. So we're still very much believing in farming our own, but that takes time. And so we're still recruiting widely in Tucson. I don't go recruit in the Valley, but trying to keep it local.
Just as a, you know, even your basic beat cop, understanding this community is kind of important, right? That you know, not like a grand strategy wise, but you know where an alley leads.
Yeah.
Because you've lived here long enough. You know where things are. You know where people are. You know how people behave. If you hire somebody from, you know, Dubuque and they're here for a year, there are places they've never been in
Absolutely.
This town, right?
Well, to date, when my wife and I leave town, I can't tell you which way is north. She can, I can't, because I grew up in Tucson where I just have to look north to see the mountains, the Catalinas, and I know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. I'm a train wreck outside of Tucson. And, you know, it's culture. There's no one defining part of town that has all the crime or that's the wealthiest or that has pockets of demographics. I've worked in every division, every geographic ward in the city, and they all beat to their own drum. You know, one of the things I'm the most excited about is Operations Division South, both the fire department and the police department getting this new building that took a decade thanks to the voters and Prop 101. It's a beautiful building, and I can't wait for the fireside. PD's moved in. We just demolished our old station, which was hard for me to be demolished because I worked there as a motor officer and a sergeant.
That was a cramped little place, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it created this really cool culture. You couldn't walk. You had to turn sideways to walk by another officer, so just a cool place to work. The new state-of-the-art building is amazing. We're going to be co-located with our fire partners. Mm-hmm. We have community rooms. It's right adjacent to Ward 1. The south side of town deserves that facility, and I'm really excited for the community to have access
Well,
to
we sure enjoyed our monthly visits with you, Chief, and we hope that will continue with the new chief.
I'm sure she'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let's just commit her.
Right?
I get to write a bunch of checks in the next five days.
Though. Why not? But no, we really do appreciate it. And Dylan, I'm not going to speak for Dylan. He can speak for himself. But you have been very transparent with us on this program. We do appreciate that.
Well, both Bill, Dylan, I appreciate the Buckmaster Show and the Sentinel for not always siding with us, but for being fair, being objective, and for sometimes being critical of me in one article and supportive in the next. And I've enjoyed that, not just with you, Dylan, but your whole team and Bill, and provided us an opportunity to tell our story. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do that with social media.
Yes, it is.
And I can tell you that Chief Prieto is going to keep up the same level of transparency, and mm-hmm. I'm sure she'll be even doing better. We all learn. You know, we want to give credit to Chief Magnus, Chief Isenor, for creating a culture of learning that we've continued on, mm-hmm. and I don't suspect you'll see any different there.
Do you communicate with Chief Magnus? He's had some interesting, since leaving here, some interesting positions.
I do. I just talked to him about my retirement, my new job.
He's over in Honolulu?
Over there, their police oversight commissioners are volunteer mm-hmm. basis, mm-hmm. and he's doing that and some other mm-hmm. other odds and ends, but he's still very involved in policing and mm-hmm. trying to make the profession the best that it can be.
Mm-hmm. Do you get to keep the uniform?
No.
Such a cool uniform with the four stars and the whole thing. Yeah. Go to a museum. I don't know.
No. My wife made the comment that our closet was going to be a lot more open.
Dylan, final thoughts before we say goodbye to
the
chief.
You know, what? One last hard question, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how hard it is.
Go ahead.
You know, we touched on ICE a little bit, more of it with a national scope.
Yeah.
But you have had TBD play a role in some of the recent incidents involving DHS and ICE and all of that. And we have seen, you know, like up in Minnesota,
real quickly,
local police officers directly intervene and keep ICE from taking people.
Yeah.
how far down that road of, you know, interjecting TPD between the feds and people in the community is appropriate?
On criminal investigations, all the federal partners still have very much have our support. We will not support administrative immigration investigations unless it's emergent. What I would say is, we've kept the community safe by making sure we don't have a national incident here. That's not happenstance. The hard work of the brave men and women out there of the Tucson Police Department and the trust they have in our community.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Weekend Watch coming up next with 101.7 The Drive, our sister station, right after this.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Attend an upcoming question and answer session hosted by the Regional Transportation Authority to learn more about the proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan voters will consider next March. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. A half-cent tax to fund RTA Next, if approved, will replace the current tax, resulting in no change in the current tax rate. The Q&A sessions, which are being held across the region, include in-person and virtual events. Learn more or sign up at RTANext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster, Friday, February 13th at noon. Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and I will be talking with Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher. Then Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, the only source for live local news and talk. Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great getaway in the land of enchantment. About a three-hour drive east of Tucson. Ken Carr is here, the legendary midday guy on 101.7 The Drive. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing really well, and we're off and running on a great weekend.
Well, gentlemen, Valentine's Day is 8 days away.
What?
So there's a craft and vendor market at Park Place Mall tomorrow if you haven't thought of something to get your sweetie.
Dylan Smith is with us. Dylan, are you a big Valentine's guy?
You know, we kind of... Sometimes it kind of ebbs and flows whether we make a big deal out of Valentine's Day
year.
Or
we'll
not.
We'll see if this is the year for you.
I don't know yet, but maybe I should get out there and find something.
Well, let's do less a trinket or two. More flow, okay?
Yeah.
Only 20 seconds. It can't be.
All right. Well, one other thing quickly. Well, we have the gem show still going on and a $1 clothing sale at Carrillo K5 Magnet School. A buck each for all of the clothing items. So if you are on a budget... Go get some clothes. That's tomorrow.
Luckily, Brendan made a little mistake. What says we got 1 minute more?
Oh, good. All right. Well, then I'll go a little slower.
No, go ahead.
$1 clothing sale. Carrillo K5 Magnet School, 440 South Main. Shop all kinds of clothes and accessories, just $1 each. So think of how you could fill your closet for like $20. That'd be pretty awesome.
I think the chief needs to get out there. He was just talking about an empty closet. About
He's got all his uniforms and he needs real clothes, doesn't he?
What else you got? Take another one.
Desert Showcase match. That's Aquino Sports Complex in the North Stadium. And that's Sunday, preseason opening training session with the New Mexico United versus the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. If you like soccer. And also the Renaissance Festival. You can't forget about that. That's going on now through the end of March. And, of course, if you have two hands, you can hold two turkey legs.
There you go. Thank you, Ken Carr and Dylan Smith, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, responsible for today's program and the content. Have a great weekend, everybody.